Well, today we're going to continue in our series on vision. We talked about vision. Before we do that, I wanted to make you just a quick announcement. We'll talk more about this in the next coming weeks. But at the end of the month, we're going to be taking our first church charter. And so if you would like to be a part of the first membership of our church and having a chance to sign the charter papers that we're signing, the charter papers with Foursquare, we've been a Foursquare church plant, and now we're going to move under the umbrella of a church plant into a charter church. And so we are taking those applications. We're going to be having those available next week to you if you would like to know more information about being a part of a church membership. And I'll be talking about that the rest of this month as we get closer to that. I got some exciting news for you. Next week we have the National Foursquare Women's Ministries Director, Tammy Dunahoo, is going to be here speaking for us on Mother's Day. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it's a very big privilege. She speaks around the world and represents Foursquare Women's Ministries, and she's the president of that, and she's going to be here next Sunday in service with us, and she's going to be speaking on a special service for our Mother's Day. So that's going to happen next Sunday. But a lot happening this month. We'll be telling you more about that as the month goes along, and you'll have more information on that. But a little FYI. Today, we're going to continue in this thought of vision. And as we continue in our vision statement, we're talking about what really is the vision that God has for our church. We're looking not at long-term vision, but the spiritual vision of our church. The vision statement, the mission statement. Maybe some people call it the mission statement. Some call it the purpose statement, vision statement. They all kind of, all three intertwine and become one. And really what we're looking at is what has God called us to be? And we believe it to be this. The Destiny Church exists to teach people to passionately love God, to genuinely love people, and to teach others to do the same. And we get this right out of the scripture, the greatest command in Mark 25:21. Look what Jesus says. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with, say all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all your strength. The second is of this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And we have decided if this is the most important thing, then we must really take it to heart and we must really apply it. It really starts here. Our Christian walk really starts here and really doesn't end here, but really everything we do should be a statement out of this, should be connected to this statement, this verse, that are we passionately loving God? Are we growing our passion for God? And are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? And so today we know that this verse is a very key verse. Now, this is a stool, in case you didn't know that. Come here a second, Tom. So if I ask Tom to sit in the stool, right here, Tom, sit in the stool. Right there. This isn't the best stool, so hopefully this will work. But, okay, there you go. There's nothing, no trick to this, Tom. Is that stool all right? Feel okay? It's okay. A little bit wobbly, but it's okay, right? Okay. Now get up a second. If I was to take one of these legs and saw it off and ask you to sit back down again, would you sit down? Yeah, you wouldn't trust it, would you? Why not? One of the legs is gone. What causes that to happen if one of the legs are gone? Instability? Instability, right? What else? You're gonna fall, you can't stand, you can't, it won't support you, will it? It won't support you. And so as I look at this and think, boy, it takes four corners of this, the legs of this stool to bring stability. Thank you. Look at this verse. It takes these four corners of a Christian walk to bring stability in a Christian walk, that we are called to love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And if one of these are missing, we're going to be off balance in our life. If we love the God with just our heart but haven't learned to love Him with our mind or our soul, maybe we love God with our heart and our strength, but we haven't learned to love Him with the other areas, what's going to happen? There's going to be an unbalance in our life. And that's something we don't want to have. There's a reason why they stopped making three-wheelers so popular. How many I'm talking about? You remember the three-wheelers were so popular? People were getting hurt all the time because they were flipping those things around. And they finally figured it out. Duh, let's put four wheels on the thing. It'll be a lot more safer. And so now the four-wheeler has pretty much taken the place of the three-wheeler. You still find some around, but the four-wheelers are a lot more popular because they're a lot more safer. We figured it out. I mean, we can send a guy to the moon and build a car to ride on the moon, but we finally took us a long time to figure out four wheels is better than three. I don't know why that took so long to figure out. But there's something about stability of having the four corners. And I believe in our Christian walk that we have got to have all four of these. That's just why we have been spending so much time talking about these areas of our life. To love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Today we're going to cover the fourth one today. and that is learning to love God, how to love God with all your soul. When I say soul, what's the first thing that you think of? This is the first thing I think of. I think of soul. I think of this right here. You know, this song comes to my mind. I'm a soul man. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of soul? Huh? What's the first thing you think of when you hear the word soul? What do you think? Some of you think of maybe a little groove. What are we thinking? If I ask you where your mind's at, what are you going to do? Where are you going to point to? Right here, okay? If I ask you where your hand's at, where are you going to point to? Right here. Where's your foot? Right there. You know those things. Where's your heart? It's right here. Where's your strength at? It's right here in my muscles, you know, or my lack of them, whatever. But when we ask the question, where's your soul, sometimes we don't know where to point. Do we? I don't know. What really is my soul? Seems to be the million-dollar question. What is our soul? And what does he mean when he says to love the Lord God with all of our soul? And so as I was studying this out and really intrigued me to think, what really is the definition of soul that the Bible is trying to get to and teach us in learning to love the Lord God with all of our soul? Because this is a very important leg. We don't want this leg missing, do we? We want this leg to be as important as loving the God with our mind, our strength, and our heart. And so we got to learn to love the Lord with all of our soul. And so as I look at the Old Testament definition of soul, the Old Testament definition of soul is the word nephesh, which basically comes to mean this, to breathe. And so the definition in the Old Testament, when you hear the word soul, it was used in the Bible, it means to breathe. And it actually was talking about the idea that God breathed life into man, that God breathed life into Adam. He took him from the dust and he breathed his breath. Nephesh, breathed life into him. And then in the New Testament, we see where the word soul is used, and it translates to the word, almost where the word we get the psychic from, psychology from. It's the word suche. Suche, and with the P, the first part of that. It's the word suche, and it becomes the root word we use for a lot of the words that have to do with psychology and this kind of thing. And it basically translates to your will, your drive, your passion, your will to live, your power to live, the thing inside you that drives you, your desires and your passion. And so if we kind of combine the two to get the definition, it would basically be a God-given, breathed passion to do the right thing in our life, the will to do what God's doing in our life. This is the soul that God is saying that he's wanting us to, that thing inside us that gives us passion, a will to do things, a desire. It affects our personality. It affects our direction in life. It affects our attitude. It affects everything because it's the drive, the passion that God has given us when he talks about soul. So how do we translate that into loving God? How do we take the soul and learn to love God with our soul? Let me give you some ways of doing this. Number one, you got to learn to seek him passionately. Seek him passionately. There was a quote from a magazine that I read that said, "The soul needs an intense, full-body spiritual life as much as in the same way the body needs food. In order to accomplish this goal, we need to bring back the soul into religion." To bring the soul back into the religion. And you think, who would say that? Was that a Christian magazine? No, this was Psychology Today that actually quoted that. That even doctors today are agreeing that they need to bring back our soul connected to religion. Now today, I'm not interested in religion, but it's the concept of what they're saying, the concept of connecting back to God. And I believe, of course, that we believe in relationship. We believe that religion is man's attempt to get to God. We believe we have a relationship with Jesus that brings us a one-on-one relationship with God. And so today, we know this, that man is figuring this out, and even doctors are figuring this out, that there's something about our soul that is longing to be connected to a greater power, to be connected to God. And the problem is so many people are looking to the wrong thing to connect that power to. They're looking to wrong gods. They're looking to false gods. They're looking to things to connect themselves to. So we got to learn to seek God passionately. According to the great theologian, I like what he says. This great theologian's name was Billy Joel. He says, it's all about soul. And I believe today it really is all about soul. It's about the soul, the drive, the passion when it comes to loving God. Do we have a passion to love him? And to love him with our soul, it's loving him with passion. You know, there's got to be some feeling inside there. There's got to be a passion, a longing in our heart to know him in a greater way, to get to know him. Look what Deuteronomy says in Deuteronomy 4:29. If from there you seek the Lord, your God, you will find him and look for him with all your heart and all your mind. That's that word all again. It keeps popping up in everything we look at, doesn't it? It says that we seek the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul. We're to seek God with what? With everything within us. All the passion inside of us, God says, this is how I want you to love me. I want you to gear that passion that you have and channel it back toward learning who I am, about giving your desires, your will, your passion. It should come in pleasing me and learning to do the right things that would please the Lord. Psalms 42:1 says, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Some translations say thirst. And this is a really big scripture because it really is painting the picture of how my soul is what? My soul becomes thirsty for the Lord. My soul is what becomes a thirst for God. My soul is what really desires that passion in there. And David points out this picture. David was on the backside of the desert when he wrote this scripture in Psalms 63, verse 1. He says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And so we're finding this connection between our soul is the things that we thirst for. That our soul is the things that thirst after the things of God. What kind of passion do you have in your life? What kind of thirst do you have in your life? Many stories he told about the passion of God, seeking the kingdom. Jesus told about many stories about seeking the kingdom of God, and he used illustrations about passion. He talked about the person who lost the coins and how they destroyed their house looking for the coins. And he talked about the shepherd who lost the one sheep and how he left the 99 to go after to look for the one. Talked about the prodigal son who passionately waited for his son to return home after he had left home and came back. He was looking for him far off, and he was celebrating. He was so passionate about finding his son that he kept that watchtower going all the time looking for his son. Jesus describes the kingdom of God in passionate ways to us. How many has ever lost the control at your house? How many got kids, okay? If you got kids, you can relate to three-legged chairs. And you can relate to lost controls, can't you? You know, you put the kids to bed and you're like, all right, I think I'll relax now, maybe watch a little TV or something. You can't find your controls. The TV controls are gone. And I'll ask all the kids, what happened to the controls? And it's a miracle. No one can find it. You know, it's disappeared. It's gone. They can't find it. No one knows where it is. Then finally, if I say, all right, the next person who finds the controls is going to get a couple of dollars. So I'll pull out some cash, you know, and I'll show that cash and wave it around. It's amazing what happens in my house. All of a sudden, these kids who couldn't find anything are like private eye detectives. Zipping through the house, man. They're looking through cushions, underneath the couches and chairs, digging through the garbage, looking through backpacks, going through toy boxes. I mean, they will find those controls just to find that money. Why? Because I intrigued your passion. I intrigued your passion with a little bit of green, and man, they got real passionate about finding those controls, didn't they? That's what we're talking about here, the same kind of passion. There's something about the kingdom of God that he has placed in our heart. This passion is so to find God. God has put every one of us that soul desire to find him. It's something that happens, you know, and there's a popular book out called Chicken Soup for the Soul. There's a lot of good stories there. But let me just tell you this, even though it's a great book, let me tell you this, that your soul needs a lot more than chicken soup. Your soul will never be quenched until it tastes after the living God. Our souls will never find what it's looking for. Our thirst will never be quenched until we learn to drink after God's cup. And that's what he's talking about, learning to love the Lord with all of our soul. It's tasted of God and knowing, I taste of him and he is good. And so coming to this thought in our life, what does it mean? So let me ask you these two questions. For what do I thirst? That's the question we've got to ask ourselves. For what do I thirst? What am I thirsty for in my life and why? I've got to ask these questions because Jesus told us in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and what? Thirst. See, we're seeing this connection all through Scripture. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There's a blessing when we learn to let our soul worship the Lord, because our soul is what thirsts after him. And the problem is this, is that what do we thirst for? If I'm hungry and thirsty for other things in life and chasing other things in life, what happens, man? I'm unfulfilled. It's kind of like eating cotton candy. You ever eat cotton candy? Man, it looks real good. It's a big bag, but man, you eat it and it's just, you know, you get a sweet taste in your mouth, but it really doesn't do much for filling you up, does it? I mean, it's just like eating air. And after a couple bites, you've had enough. You know, it's all right. Just spent the sugar anyway, you know. That's kind of the way life is. We see things out there. Society tells us we should thirst after other things. Society says I thirst after prestige, money, wealth, job title, you know, degrees, and all these things. And those things are not bad within themselves, but it's the point of society that we thirst after them. We think if we will taste of these things, we will have our thirst quenched. And the problem is this, is that you'll go through your whole life and you'll get the education you need, you'll get the job you need, you'll marry and do this and have this and finally get everything you thought would quench your thirst. And if you're not careful, you'll go through your whole life and realize none of this quenched my thirst. None of this quenched my thirst. It wasn't until I allowed my soul to be quenched by God. It wasn't until I allowed this thirst to realize my fulfillment comes through my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, these other things, they can bring temporary happiness and they can make your life a little bit easier. They can be a blessing to other people. But when it comes to quenching my soul thirst, that will only come when I allow God to satisfy that. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's the promise. Listen, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, here's the promise. You will be filled. You will be filled. That's where fulfillment will come in your life. Fulfillment does not come through a job title. Fulfillment doesn't come from a degree or the house we live in. Those things bring temporary fulfillment. But ultimate fulfillment will come through my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where I get fulfillment. So this loving the Lord with our soul is quenching this thirst with him. When you are thirsty during the day, when you're physically thirsty, what happens? What happens when you get thirsty, Tom? What do? You take a drink of water. Is there anything wrong with taking a drink of water? No, that's right. There's something right about your mind telling you take a drink of water. You're thirsty. Do you realize that if you go 3 days without water, you will die? We take it for granted, don't we, man? We take water so much for granted, you know. But if you realize if you went 3 days without water, now you could go a lot longer without food, but man, you go 3 days without water and you're going to die. I mean, you could be maybe in the top tip shape, but man, somewhere between that third and fourth day, even someone who's really good and hydrated good, they're going to be dehydrated and their body's going to shut down and they're going to die. And so our body needs the thirst, because if our body doesn't naturally thirst, we don't know. I mean, I could go all day long and sometimes if we're not careful, we could drink other things besides water, and you know, you wouldn't know you're really thirsty. If your brain didn't tell you you're thirsty, you need a drink. But your body has a way of telling your mind, hey, I'm thirsty, you need a drink. Because we need that water in our system, the way our bodies operate. And so it's the way we're wired. And so it's a good thing that our bodies tell us that we're thirsty. And it's a good thing that our souls tell us we're thirsty. Because that's what keeps us to looking for the right answer. Our soul is what tells us, I'm spiritually thirsty. I've got to find this thing to plug in the longing that I'm looking for. And so it's that soul, that thirst after God, that will lead me to a path of trying to find it. And the problem is this, that we thirst after the wrong thing many times in our life. So we got to learn that lesson, first of all, that we got to thirst after the right thing, and that is God. And the second part of this, what am I drinking? What am I drinking? Jesus said in John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I give, him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring, a water welling up of eternal life. Look what Jesus said. He says, the water that I give. Jesus gives us water for our soul. And so learning to love the Lord with all of our soul is saying, Jesus, I want to receive of your water for my life. I want to receive your spiritual water for my life. This water you're talking about, if I would taste from your cup, that it would quench my thirst. And see, all of us inside of our soul have got this thirst right there. So we're trying to quench it with other things. We'll try to quench it with addictions. We'll try to quench it with bad habits. We'll try to quench it with goals and goal setting, but we'll live our whole life in trying to fill that thirst. But when I taste of God's cup, he says, then your thirst will be quenched. And so that's why it's important that we learn to let our soul worship the Lord, to love God with all of our soul so that he can quench the thirst in us. What am I drinking? It's important. How many know it's important you don't drink the wrong thing? Let's say you were taking a cruise in the ocean and your boat began to sink and you jumped onto the life raft and you're out there just waiting around for help and you didn't have any water with you. How many know that there's water all around you? How many just love it? You say, what's the big deal? I can take the drink of that water. It's okay. But how many know salt water is bad for you? Matter of fact, even though it looks like the real thing, like it could help you because you're so thirsty, if you drink the salt water actually has the reverse effect in your life. Salt water actually dehydrates you a lot faster because the salt chemicals are so strong that the water in your body begins to go and try to compensate and dilute that down and work to dilute it down. And pretty soon you drink that salt water, your whole body shuts down. I mean, you're better off just a thirst to death. You'll live a little bit longer. But if you have to try and drink that salt water, if you have a big taste of salt water, your body begins to shut down because it's overcompensating for the overbalance of salt there. But it looks good, doesn't it? I mean, that makes no sense. You're out there floating around thinking, man, all this water, I'm going to die of thirst. And that's just kind of the way our lives are. You know, we look around and, you know, we're floating around and all these things are saying, hey, drink of me. Hey, this is where you're going to get your thirst quenched. Hey, you know, in society and TV and commercials and friends and peer pressure and billboards and magazines and all these things are telling us, hey, right here, this is how you get fulfillment. You know, infomercials tell you, hey, this is what's going to quench your thirst. Hey, all these things are waving at us with banners saying, your thirst will be quenched this way. And so we'll stay up and we'll order this and we'll try this diet. We don't get fulfillment there. And we'll try this quick rich scheme and it doesn't bring fulfillment there. And then we'll finally buckle down and do something right. And we'll have some self pride in what we're doing. But also we're still empty inside. That's why when you watch these stories of these pro athletes and billionaires, and they talk about how lonely they are. Because they thought once they got there that it would sustain them. It was good for a short time. It tasted good at first, but in the long run, it was still very empty inside. In the long run, they were still very thirsty. Having millions of dollars in the bank, fame and fortune, but yet cannot quench it. They'll turn to drugs and alcohol and party lifestyle and elusive sex, man, and just continue trying to do all these things to fulfill the void in their life. And yet, it's nothing that's fulfilling that void. It's because they haven't learned that the one thing that will quench their thirst is Jesus. So we got to make sure that we are tasting the right thing. What do you thirst after? Worshiping the Lord with all your soul means I'm thirsting after the right thing. I'm learning to thirst after God, you and your righteousness. And when I taste of you and your righteousness, then in return, my soul is going to be quenched. My thirst is going to be quenched. I'm going to be like, that's good. That reminds me right there, I need a good drink of water. He is the living water. He says, drink of this. Our quench, our thirst will never be met except for one way, that's through Jesus Christ. That's a deep down soul thirst is met only through Jesus. We know this. How else do we continue to worship the Lord with our soul? It's this thing right here. Quick, let me give it to you. I suggest Psalms 116 and verse 1. Very easy verse for you to memorize. It says, I love the Lord. That's the verse. So today, I want you to put this in memory. Everybody say, I love the Lord. You just memorized one Bible verse this morning. All right, give yourself a hand. You did it, man. Yeah, okay. I love the Lord. And even though it's a very short verse, it's a very personal verse because it says, I love the Lord. Telling you this, that it's important that you and I as individuals, that we love the Lord. And loving him with my soul is realizing this, that it's important as an individual that I love the Lord and give him the worship and praise that he deserves because I am an individual. I'm individual. I mean singular. That it's important that my singular soul gives praise to the Lord. it's important that my singular soul thirst after God. If I don't learn to give it out, then I am not doing what I am created for. I was created singular to praise the Lord. He didn't create me to praise the Lord the same way you're created to praise. You're unique. I'm unique. And he didn't take a cookie cutter and say, all right, you're going to praise me like this. Not every one of us is called to praise God exactly alike. I mean, even when we ask you to lift your hands, isn't it funny how we lift our hands in worship? I'll say, lift our hands in worship, and some will do this. Some of you think the anointing's way up high, and you got to get up there, and you're like, whoo, it's up there. Some of you think it's really down low. I know the current's down here. That's where it's at. Or, oh, hallelujah. Others are like, you know, it's going to rain from heaven, so I'm going to catch it right here. Other of us are like windmills. Hallelujah. You know, you got here, you know. We're unique. We're unique people, and one's not better than the other, and one's not wrong, and one's right. It's because we're unique. And God has created me to worship him. And when I don't, I am leaving a void for what I was created for. I was created to have fellowship with him, to love him. My soul was created to what? My body was created to be quenched to thirst with water. That's how God made my body. My spiritual soul was created to have my quench spiritually fed through Jesus Christ, through my relationship with him. I am called to praise him. I've got to love him personally. My personality is different than yours. And so it's going to look different, but you got to use that. What's your will? What's your passion? These are the things that God has called you and I to worship him with. And number three, follow him persistently. Loving the Lord with all of our soul means we follow him with persistence. Make it a pattern in your life. Psalms 143 and verse 8. Look what it says. Show me the way. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. See the connection? If I take my soul and I lift it up to the Lord, in return, what does he do? He shows me the way. See the connection here. As I follow him persistently, I've learned this, that as I worship the Lord with my soul, I'm learning to take my soul, my passion, and say, God, I give my passion to you. I give my focus to you. I give my will to you. Then in return, he does what? He shows me where to go. Now, how many know there's no better guide in life than to have God directing you? There's not going to be no, listen, you'll make far fewer mistakes. Your path will be a lot easier. It'll be a lot less rocky, and it's going to be a lot less full of trouble if we can learn to let the Holy Spirit direct our lives. Let God's direction to come in our life. And that comes through what? When I lift up my soul to you, you show me where to go. This is direction that he gives us. Luke 9:23 and verse 24. Jesus said to all of them, if people want to follow me, they give up the things they want. They must be willing to give up their lives daily to follow me. We're called to what? To give up. And so loving the Lord with our soul means I'm giving up my soul to him, my passion. How many know there's a big difference between what I want and what I need? Isn't that a big difference? As parents, we've learned this, haven't we? There's a big difference in what my kids want and what they really need. If I give my kids everything they want, it'll never stop, would it? I mean, they would be so spoiled, rotten. I mean, every time we go somewhere, they want something. They got to have something. You know, and I'm not against getting nice things for your kids, but at some point we got to use wisdom, don't we? We got to bring balance to their life and make sure they know that things just don't grow on trees here. You got to earn things. You got to have good grades, and you got to work hard, and you got to keep your room clean. And these things are rewards. And then you have birthdays and Christmas to look forward to. But we just don't hand you everything you want. Now, there's other times we know they need things, and we get it right away. My son comes home and says, Dad, I've got to have this new notebook for my class because I'm doing a new project. You know what I'm doing? I'm getting up and I'm going to the store and I'm getting my notebook right away because I know that he needs to have a good notebook to do his homework in and do his work in. That's important. If he's sick and the doctor says, I called him in prescription, and you need to go buy Walgreens and pick up his prescription, I'm going to go by there and get it because he needs that. And I'm giving him what he needs. I'm not always giving him what he wants. The same thing happens in our life, that when we give our will to the Lord and we give him our soul, he doesn't always give us what? He doesn't always give us our wants. He gives us what we need. And that's learning to love the Lord with your soul, because you're taking this. When I love the Lord with my soul, I humble myself before the Lord and say, God, I give you my wants. Here they are. These are my wants, and I give them to you. Now I'm trusting you now in return to give me what I need. See the balance there? And that's loving the Lord with all your soul. God, I'm telling you what I want. God, I'm telling you the things that I want in my life. And God, as a parent, as my spiritual father, I'm trusting on you to give me what I need. And when he doesn't give me everything I want, I have to realize that, you know what? He's the spiritual father here. He's the one who knows what I need. And my trust is, if I don't have it now, then maybe he's waiting later when I'm ready for it. A better timing. If I don't have it all together, it's because he has a better plan. He's got a better gift for me. He's got a better job for me. He's got a better person lined up for me. He's got this happening. He's got things that are better. So I have to be patient and learn to love him with all my soul, all my passion. This is loving the Lord with all of our soul. It's how we live our life. God, what do you want today? What do you want today? Loving the Lord with all of our soul is taking up our cross daily. Saying, God, today I give you my wants. And God, what do you need from me today? God, what do you need from me today? Give me what I have need of today, God, that I can do your will. Look what the last verse says here in Luke chapter 9, verse 24. As musicians come this morning, let me say this to you. Luke 9, verse 24. Those who want to save their lives will give it up. True life. But those who give up their lives for me will have true life. Let's look at that again. Jesus said to all of them, if people want to follow me, go to the next verse. Sit on there. Verse 24. I must have left that part off. It's all right, guys. Don't worry about it. It says, those who want to save their lives will give up true life. But those who give up their lives for me will have true life. True life. True happiness comes through giving up our life, loving the Lord with all of our soul. That means giving God all of our passions. That's becoming balanced in our life. If we don't learn to love the Lord with all of our soul, then we're unstable. We're getting spiritually unstable. And so it's important that we learn to love the Lord with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with all of our heart, with all of our soul. It's the four corners of loving the Lord. And we love him in all four of these areas. It brings stability in our life. It brings balance. It brings a solid foundation. Now, I know that it's not going to happen overnight. Some of you, maybe you're doing one of these things really well and you need to work on the other three. Others of you, maybe you got three things you're doing really well, but you need to work on one of these. Whatever it is, you're going to have to make a decision today. My heart's desire today is we learn to love the Lord with all of our soul. Letting that passion grow in us, man. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. With every head bowed and no one looking around but me this morning, I want to ask you this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about loving the Lord with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And first of all, I just got to make sure I'm right with God. I never asked Jesus Christ into my life. I never asked him to be my Lord and Savior today. Or maybe you have asked him in the past and you've lived so far away from the right thing, and today you want to come back and say, I want to renew my commitment to Jesus Christ. I want to come back home and get right with the Father. Wherever you're at today, I want to ask you, if you're here today, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I would not embarrass you in any way, but can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. I want to renew my faith in him. Anybody here today that want to make that decision? I want to give you plenty of time. Raise it high where I can see it today. The second question I have for you today is this. See, Pastor, I want to learn to love the Lord with all of my soul. I want to learn to love him with my soul. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're like me. Maybe I didn't really have a clear definition of what soul was for a long time in my life. I heard it, but really didn't understand what it really meant. And today, as I'm getting revelation through God's word of what it really means to love the Lord with all of my soul, it means I'm to thirst after him and to quench only that thirst through him. And if God's dealing with you today, say, Pastor, I want to learn to love the Lord with my soul like I never had before. If that's you, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to learn to love God, thank you, with my soul like I never had before. Thank you. Hands going everywhere. Just taking that time to say, God, today I want to learn to love you with my soul. I want to be balanced in my life. I don't want to neglect this area. I want to learn to thirst after the things of God more than I thirst after anything else in my life. Anybody else today, you're making a decision and say, Pastor, I want to thirst after God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, guys, for being honest today. I'm going to ask you to stand up to your feet. Several hands went up today, so I'm going to say this closing prayer. I'm just going to pray today that God's Holy Spirit today would begin to give you that thirst for Him. That thirst for Him. But this is my prayer as your pastor, that when you lay in bed tonight, if you haven't spent any time with God that day, that you can't even go to sleep until you say, you know what? I got to get up and read a verse. I got to say a prayer. I've got to talk to God. I've got to do something because this thirst inside me is so strong. And today I'm going to pray this prayer over you. Father, I pray for everybody who raised their hands today who said they want to learn to thirst after you more in their life. God, I pray for every student, every person here, God, every adult. I don't care what age they are today. Everyone who raised their hands, Father, I speak right now in Jesus' name to their life. Lord, may there be a thirst in our life for you like we never had before. That's our prayer to God. We've been learning to thirst after you and your righteousness in a way that we never had before. And God, I pray that thirst would increase in our life for you. That God, we would learn to love you with our soul. And our soul will only be complete when we taste after you and the things of God. And God, I pray those living waters that you talked about will become alive in our heart. And it would spring out of us, Lord. Life, Lord, today. And I pray to Father, as we open up and learn to love you with our soul, learn to quench our thirst only after you, that God in return will grow and become more stable as we learn to be passionate lovers of who you are. May our passion grow for you and the things of God. May our passion grow as we love you. In Jesus' name we pray together. Everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Shake your hand before you leave. Tell someone you're glad to see him in the house. We'll see you next week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Yes.